Tonight, I want to draw your attention to several passages of Scripture, and so I'm just going to begin the message by saying this. This is a continuation of our series in Restoring Biblical Childhood, and tonight we're going to deal with this theme, Respect for Age and Authority. Respect for Age and Authority. I've been encouraged by some to put this into a booklet form, and I plan to do that if I ever get time to kind of write it all out. I have all my stuff as an outline form. And I think that will be helpful to those that to have an ear to hear concerning things regarding the rearing of children. But respect is such an important word. It's used in such a casual way, though, today. Today we have this segment of society that talks about, you disrespected me. And it's this idea that I'm automatically owed respect because I was born type of mentality. I was born, therefore I'm due respect. Well, we have to understand something about respect. Respect is something that is earned. It is something that is earned with time. It's not something that's given to you. You don't just get given respect. We don't have a respect box like they, you know, these commercials that they have on television. I forget what are the one of the insurance companies. They kind of package up all the different things in boxes, you know. And let's take this auto insurance box off the shelf and you can add to it or take away from it. Well, some people think you can go to Walmart and buy respect. There's a respect box on the shelf that I'm going to get that and I have respect now. No, respect is something that is earned. It's not something that you're given. It's not something that you're born with. It is something that you have to earn with time due to responsibility and for the fact that you treat others with respect. I want us to look at that word before we actually get into the Scripture tonight. This word respect is from the Latin. It's two Latin words put together, re and specio, S-P-E-C-I-O, re specio. And it means to view highly, to view or to see it as something that is high and lifted up, something that's worthy. Now, anything that you respect, you will treat differently than someone or something that you do not respect. Things that you do not respect, you treat differently than things which you do respect. Now, this is just something that's natural, but it's something that needs to be emphasized here. Now, by definition, respect means to regard, to have regard to in design or purpose, to view or consider with some degree of reverence, to esteem as possessed of real worth. That's what Webster's 1828 dictionary said concerning the word. So you get the idea. To view highly. This is not something that's of a low view that's down here, but it's something that is worthy of reverence. And I picture this on a higher level than I do everything else. Now we do this all the time. There are certain restaurants that you know that you don't go into that restaurant dressed super casually. It's a cut above the rest. You go trouncing into Scopolo's dressed in your beachwear and they're going to toss you out on your ear. You don't go into that restaurant dressed like that. That's a high-end restaurant. They have other restaurants that you dress up to go into there. Why? Because you view that as a higher place. They have higher standards. Now, you can go into McDonald's dressed like that and no one will jump on you. But if you go into McDonald's, they even have their standards. You show up without a shirt and shoes and they'll bounce you out of there. You're not going to come into their restaurant not dressed properly. There's a level of respect for the standards that even a McDonald's has. And these high-end restaurants have even a higher standard. You go into the military. There are certain expectations about your dress. It's an amazing thing. When we were in the courtroom on Friday, we went to Mrs. Raich. Valerie Raich had her naturalization process concluded. She became a United States citizen. And I want to tell you something. I sat in awe as I watched all the things that transpired there. I came out of there a more appreciative American. As I listened to those people stand and give their names and tell what country they were from, and then they renounced all their ties to citizenship from those countries because they embraced America as their new country. But I want to tell you something. The judges that came into that courtroom weren't dressed like they were running out to Pensacola Beach. They came in dressed properly. with their robes in place. This was a federal court. And so they had a federal court judge there, and I believe one of them was a county court official. I'm not really sure that was there as well as a witness to all that were there. And the men that were in charge and the ladies that were in charge of the naturalization process and had brought these people all through were dressed immaculately. I mean, this was a special occasion. These people were being declared by the law of the United States of America to be citizens of this country, and that was something to dress up for. It was really an awesome thing. And then to see the young Marine that was there that carried the colors and brought them in, and everybody stood out of respect. And then as they sang the national anthem, my heart was moved. And then the man that was there just did a beautiful rendition of God Bless America and Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies. I mean, it was a moving event, and he was dressed immaculately. Why? Because this was a special event. They respected this event of citizenship. It was something that was, it was in their heart to do that. They weren't going to come just dressed anyhow or whatever like we have. I want to tell you something. If you have a whatever standard, you don't have one. Can I say that again? If your standard is whatever, then you don't have a standard. You don't have a standard. For the Christian, whatever shouldn't be in your vocabulary. It should not. Well, whatever. Try that on a boss someday. I want you to make sure that this place is done. We need to get an orderly fashion. Well, whatever. Whatever. Try that at an altitude of 25,000 feet as a pilot. The message comes in, I want you to turn certain degrees. Whatever! Whatever! 150 lives hang in the balance, and you're doing whatever at 25,000 feet? How many of you would want a pilot like that, that had a whatever attitude? Oh, whatever. And yet we go into God's house with a whatever attitude. We live in our homes with the whatever attitude. And you know what it is? It's disrespect for God. It's at its lowest form. It's disrespect for God because He didn't have a whatever attitude when He created this earth, and He didn't have a whatever attitude when He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, and He didn't have a whatever attitude when He offered righteousness to you and to me, did He? If He had a whatever attitude, then you and I might as well close our Bibles and walk out that door and go home and watch the football game. If God had a whatever attitude to us. Am I making my point clear? Whatever should not be in the Christian's attitude and life. Now, respect means to view or consider with some degree of reverence, to esteem as possessed of real worth. Now, what do you give worth to? What do you give worth to? Whatever you give worth to is what you esteem and respect. Now let's get into what the Bible has to say about respect. There's five areas that are given to us in the Word of God concerning respect. The first area is this. Children, like adults, are to give honor to whom honor is due. All right, let me say that again. Children, like adults, are to give honor to whom honor is due. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. And we're going to look at several verses of Scripture. And I don't intend this to be a sword drill, but you won't get the essence of the Scriptures if we don't look at them and bring them into our eyesight tonight so that we can see them. Look at Romans chapter 13. Look down at verse 7. We're going to be getting into this when we get into our study, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but just bring it to your attention. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom whom custom. Now get this one. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now let that just sink in for just a moment. You mean there are people on this earth that we're to fear? Yes. You mean there in civil government there are certain people that we should give honor to? Absolutely. Because of the station that they hold, they are deserving. I want to tell you something. When those judges walked in, the statement that was immediately, "All rise, the Honorable Judge Miles presiding." I'll tell you something. That was serious business. Now, there were some, I'm sure, that were there that didn't give a hoot who the judge was. But whenever he walked into that courtroom, everybody stood up and gave honor to whom honor was due. What is the foundation for that respect for that judge? Can someone tell me? Could I have a child, maybe? A student? What's the foundation? The Word of God, is it not? Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So number one, children like adults are to give honor to whom honor is due. Let's go beyond that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. God didn't just give one verse here. He gave us more than one to call our attention to this theme, this thought. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look down to verse 17. Honor all men. Now, men does not appear in the original languages. It means to honor all, and the context is in authority. That's the context of this theme. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and then this sentence, honor the king. We have four sentences here. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We have a responsibility. You say, well, I don't respect the president. You should, because of the office in which he holds. Now, you may have a president that demeans his office, and we certainly would lose some respect, but there is a certain amount of respect that's required because this person is an authority over you and over me. And so they are deserving of respect. Let's go on to the second area of respect. Children and adults are to behave respectfully to all those in authority. Now let's go back a few verses here in 1 Peter. Let's go back to verse 13 of chapter 2, 1 Peter. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, that is the king, for the punishment of evildoers. What would we call that? What do we call those people that are sent by the leaders to enforce his laws? Call them the police, sheriff's deputy, FBI, enforcers of the law. What he's referring to here. Going on, and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God. Now, folks, if you're on the wrong side of the law and you're disrespecting law, you're not on God's side. God has put civil government over you, and you're to respect that government. Now, if government tells you how to worship and tells you that you can't worship God, and that you have to, if we in our Christian school, they come in and say, you can't teach Christian curriculum anymore, then we say, I'm sorry, you've overstepped your boundary, government. You've gone outside your role. We have to obey God rather than man. But if government says you need to take care of some safety issues in your buildings, yes, sir, and we get on it. Right? Yes, sir, we get on it. We don't sit there and argue with them. We don't sit there and try to talk them out of them. If government has legislation power and they have the ability to enforce something and they say you need so many fire extinguishers, we go get them. Arguing with them is to go outside what God said to do. So many people have gotten into trouble over the years, fussing and arguing with government when government was doing exactly what God told them to do. Health and safety issues are in government's hands. And so we have a responsibility to respect that authority. Now, obviously, if they're trying to go after you and do things beyond the law, beyond what their authority does, then you have right to that. We've done that before. I've had to deal with issues with it in the past year. They'll come up and say, this is what you need to do. Now, is this according to the ordinance? Well, no, the ordinance doesn't say that, but it is a suggestion. So, okay, I'll take your suggestion under consideration. And I'm well within my authority to do that because it was a suggestion. We may implement it, we may not. But if he tells me this is the law and I call down there and find out, yes, this is the ordinance, we get on it. We do it because we're responding properly. We're respecting the authority that God has placed over us in civil government. Now, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. What's the basis for my submission to the ordinance? It's the Lord's sake. Oh, there's no greater foundation than that. For the Lord's sake, I'll do it. because I want to bring honor to Him, praise to His name. Whether it be to the King as supreme, or we could say the President of the United States, or unto governors, those that are underneath Him that carry out His ministry, or unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Is there anything more clear than that? I think that's pretty clear. I don't have to have a Greek education to figure that one out. It's pretty clear. Number three, children and adults should show respect to governing officials and civil government, including officers who are duly deputized to enforce the law of the land. Police officers will tell you, and I've talked to many of them. We have a lot of them that are involved with our young people up here in the soccer program. We have several investigators, some from Escambia County, some from Santa Rosa County. We get to know them. It's good to know the police officers and the detectives and so forth, so that in case there's a problem, all you have to do is holler across the field, and then they can come help in that regard. But we have a responsibility to respect that. If a teenager disrespects police officers, they ought to throw them in jail. That's how I feel. They ought to throw them in jail. Just for that, if anything else. We have a responsibility to follow the law and to teach our young people to respect authority, to respect the speed limit, to respect all the things that the authorities that be enforce. Because God says that we are to show respect to governing officials and civil government and the officers who are duly authorized to enforce the law of the land. And we read that back in Romans chapter 13. You don't need to turn there. Just listen carefully. Beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, He's established it. They flow from Him as far as the authority. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's a strong word in the Greek language. They shall receive damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Now, that's not a good translation. It's the word authority. Wilt thou be afraid of the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. It should be a matter of conscience with you to obey the laws of the land and follow the instructions of those in authority over you in civil government. Now, this is what we want to teach our children. We don't want our children to be disrespectful to police officers, do we? I grew up in the 1960s. I was a child at that time. But I remember witnessing the disrespect for police officers. I remember seeing it on television. I remember seeing the disrespect that was shown this ministry there in the 60s. Of the garbage that was painted on our radio station because we took over a rock station and we put Christian music on it and the teenagers went wild at Milton High School and scrawled all kinds of junk on our buildings and put the peace sign on there. What? I mean, as a child, I knew that was stupid. A peace sign while you're destroying people's property. Hello? You see a problem here? Disrespect? I knew one thing, if I ever used a paint can for other than just painting a little project that I had, my mom and dad would have torn me from limb to limb. We've had all kinds of things over the years that this ministry's faced. Disrespect. Disrespect. Number four, children and adults should show respect and obedience to church leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, join me there, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Look with me, please, at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As your pastor, I have a responsibility before God to you, to pray for you, to take you before the throne of grace and to pray for you, to uphold you, to minister the Word of God faithfully. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for the souls of the people that come under the sound of this voice, that hear the message. I've got to give an account for God that I handled His Word properly. That's a serious weight. You just can't just open the Bible and just do a sword drill sermon and throw things out there and hope that it sticks to the walls of people's hearts. It's a responsibility that's born, but there's a responsibility involved with the hearer of the Word. To understand that it's not Todd Brainerd talking up here. It's God speaking through this simple instrument here to communicate His Word. And He said, obey them that have the rule over you. That's not a word that 21st century people are wanting to hear today in churches. Think I'm going to obey that person? You really think I'm going to obey that person and what they say? You got to be kidding. Well, you're going to have to give an account one day for that attitude. You're going to have to give an account because God's Word is very clear. Obey them that have the rule over you. And that's the word rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's my ministry. It's a ministry of watching for your souls. To communicate God's Word to your soul. Not just to your physical ear, but to go beyond the physical ear right down into your heart and penetrate God's Word through the power of the Holy Spirit so it stirs you up and agitates you and causes you to think. Sometimes it makes you angry and upset. I know, because some of you can give me the glare while we're going along. Woo! You know, the glare starts coming up here, and it's not just one person. It may be more than one, and I have to endure the glare. Yeah, I've got to give an account. I can't cut corners. I can't trim my way to seek love, as Jeremiah 2 says. I have a responsibility to bear my soul as God puts His Word into my heart to communicate it to you. And we have a responsibility to respect those that are church leaders. And then number 5, children and adults should show respect to those older than themselves. Children and adults should show respect to those older than themselves. Would you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19? Leviticus chapter 19. I want to tell you something. If you haven't read the book of Leviticus lately, you need to take time to do that. Matter of fact, it'd be good if you spent a lot of time in the Pentateuch, early books of the Bible. Look at chapter 19 over in verse 32. Now, I understand and I know that this was directed toward Israel. But I want to tell you something. There are certain principles that were directed toward Israel that God has on His heart that's directed to all men. And please, as dispensationalists, we don't want to be so hyper that we say, well, that was to Israel, that doesn't have anything to do with us. Forget that. God has His principles that are eternal, that go beyond dispensation. They begin in the first dispensation and they continue on all the way to the time that He returns to this earth. Now, I want you to notice this verse of Scripture, Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now, can you be any clearer than that? This was God's standard for Israel. For the children, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. That means those with white hair. Okay? Those that have white hair. But with age is wisdom. For we learn in Job chapter 12 and verse 12, listen to this. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Listen to that verse again. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. You learn some things as you travel down the road. I know I certainly have. Well, the longer I live, the less I know. The less I know. I just realize there's just so many things I don't know. You study the Word of God and you read the Word of God over and over again, and there's something new and fresh that comes forth from God's Word that you hadn't considered before. You say, well, how come I didn't see that before? Because you didn't have age before. Yeah, there's some things that age only can cure. And you know what one of those cures is? Wisdom only comes with age. You say, well, I've got a degree. Well, Okay, we could all do the wave across here because you got a degree. All right? Let me tell you something. Degrees have nothing to do with wisdom. Absolutely nothing. It's book knowledge. Praise the Lord for it. It will help you if you'll submit to God's Word and let Him teach you. And then you'll begin to grow in what is not just book knowledge, but is an actual wisdom. He that lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth and abradeth not. One of those powerful verses to help young preachers along the pathway. Oh, how it's helped me in that regard. Here's another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. That's what Paul told Timothy, and Timothy was 40 years old when Paul told him this. Paul was 63, 64 years of age, and he told Timothy, he was 40, hey, when you're dealing with those who are older, you entreat them as a father. You don't spout off your mouth and tell them how much you know and how dumb they are because they can't do this, that, or the other. You show respect and you treat them as a father or as a mother if you're dealing with them. Now, this Leviticus 19 passage has several things to keep in mind. First of all, that when there is age present, there needs to be a lifting of the physical body in recognition of that age. There should be a recognition of that. When we teach our children, when someone older comes in, get up. Get up. This isn't George Washington's rules of civility here. This is God's rules of civility. We're on a higher level now. Isn't that right, Mr. O'Pager? We're at a higher level now. God said to rise. So important that we teach these things. Today, you walk into the area and all the kids run and grab the chair, the best chair they can find. And the adults have to look around and try to find something. As moms and dads, we got to get over and say, hey, get up. We got somebody else that's older here. You go stand over there on the side. It'd be good for you to stand for a little bit. That's all right. They got young legs. Isn't it interesting that God has youth and the older people get to have the best seats? Why? Because they don't have that youth anymore. They need a place to rest and do that. It's called respect. Simple respect. Rise. Rise when they come in. Notice it says further than that, and honor the face of the old man. Isn't that an interesting expression? Honor the face. In other words, don't just get up and give them the seat, but look them in the eye and show them respect. How about it? Do we do that kind of respect? Teach our children to look them in the eye and show them respect? When they're speaking, to have their eyes glued to their eyes so that they can see the mouth and see the eyes and show them respect in that way? Older people ought not have to yell over there while you're doing your own thing. When an older person speaks, we ought to turn and look in that regard. And then that verse ends with this particular thought, and fear thy God. Now, it's interesting that fearing God and showing respect to the elderly are linked together in this verse. As a matter of fact, in the New American Standard Version, let me read this same verse here if I can find it. I wrote it down elsewhere. Well, maybe I didn't. Anyway, it's there's no comma there. It's a connection. There's a connection there. There's not a comma and this, but fear the elderly, show respect and honor the elder, and fear God. Those two go together. And it hit me right between the eyes. When we fear God, we're worshiping Him. We're worshiping Him. You cannot disrespect age and honor God. Now, that's a simple principle, but it's very true. You cannot show disrespect for authority. You cannot show disrespect for age and say you're honoring God. Because Leviticus chapter 19 says that's not possible. That respect for age and the fear of God or the worship of God are intertwined. They cannot be separated. And then he says here in the latter part, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It's like signing a decree. I'm the king. I'm the king. I said so. You know how we like to argue? Who says I have to do that? Well, so-and-so said, okay, I guess I have to do that because so-and-so said to do that. But if it had been anybody else that said it, I wouldn't have done it. Well, the Lord says, okay, I'm signing off on this one. You show respect. Rise in the presence of age. Show honor to those who are in authority and fear God. Signed, I am the Lord. What a powerful passage of Scripture. Now, there are four basic words, and we're going to close with this, and then I'll pick up next time, Lord willing, with appropriate behavior in regard to age and authority. We're going to develop that from the Scriptures. I'm going to give you some examples from the Scriptures. We're going to look at different things about the proper way to show respect to age and authority. But there are four basic words in the Bible for respect that are translated respect. Two from the Hebrew, two from the Greek. Number one from the Hebrew is the Hebrew word kabod. Kabod. And it means to be weighty, to take seriously. This is a word that's translated respect in the Old Testament. Then there is the word yare. Yare means to fear, to be frightened of, to revere or to treat with reverence. We go back to the Old Testament passages dealing with God's law, Exodus chapter 32. And you see there about the fact that we are to honor our father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. Yare, fear. Fear them. Show the reverence that's due them. In the Greek, two words, phobos. Phobos means to regard with fear or to be frightened. This is also translated respect in the New Testament. And then tamao. Tamao means to esteem and place great value upon, to revere, to show honor and respect. Timeo. So these four words are used in the Bible and are translated respect. Now these words show us three principles of respect. These four words show three principles of respect. Number one, to treat those in authority with a realization that they have power in our lives. They have power in our lives. It means that when they speak, you and I listen with respect and obey them, fearing the consequences of refusing to listen. Now, when I began dating my wife, I wanted to know how my mom and dad felt about her, and I wanted to know how my pastor felt. And so I went to all of them. And I said, I want to know. What do you think? What do you think? Because in my heart, if they'd have come to me and said, Todd, I don't think she's the right one, that would have been the end for me. That would have been the end for me. And my mom and dad and Dr. Hobbs told me, I think this is the one, Todd. Praise God. We've been married for almost 17 years. I was so glad they said yes. Let me tell you something. When you're 28 years old, you're not looking for a no. Woo! I was looking for a yes, and praise God, I got it. But I had in my heart, it was in my heart, that if my mom and dad were not happy with this, or my pastor was not happy with this, that it was done. And I would just end it quietly, and I'd be happy to be single for the rest of my life. Now, what is that? It's showing respect to those in authority over you. And say, I want to be open. That's not the attitude today. That is not the attitude today. It's, forget it. I'm doing what I'm doing. I can remember in college at Bob Jones, there was a young man in our prayer group. My first year there, Johnson Dormitory, I was in 220 right over the supervisor's apartment. And he kept hollering every time we woke their baby up because somebody jumped out of the top bunk and it reverberated throughout the whole building, and especially down underneath there, and the baby would wake up. But next door to me was the son of an attorney. Now, nothing against attorneys, but he was wealthy. He was the only one in our hall that had a credit card. You want to know how far back that was? 1984. He was the only guy in our hallway that had a credit card. And we went over to look at it. That's how dumb we were. Hey, can we see that? That's not a Sears card. That's not JCPenney. That's an actual Visa card. Wow! You must be rich. Yeah, he was. He was dating a girl. And they got married at War Memorial Chapel on graduation day, 1980. That was 1985. He graduated. He went against his pastor and he went against his mom and dad in doing so. But they gave him what he wanted. 2 years later, they were divorced. Sad commentary. 2 years later, they were done. Toast. You see, at Bob Jones, they had to follow the rules and do all the things. They really didn't know each other. They didn't know each other. And they went against the advice of the parents and the pastor, and as a result, boom, the whole thing blew up. 2 years later, I was at the university. I graduated in 87. And I remember getting the word. When somebody said, hey, you remember so-and-so? Fell all apart. How sad. Disrespected those in authority over them. Secondly, the second principle, to behave in a way which shows value to the one deserving honor. Most significantly, respect is more of a behavior than it is a feeling. Can I say that again? Respect is a behavior. It's not a feeling. Some people show respect by feeling. Ooh, there's a politician that I saw on television. Isn't it amazing? They get a camera out and all kinds of people show up and walk in front of the camera so they can be seen with the politician. They put the cameras in the Hall of Congress and all of them try to gather around and they all position. You see them jockeying so they can get right in the right camera angle so they can be there on the evening news. They're looking for respect in all the wrong places. Again, respect is a behavior. It's not a feeling. Need to get that principle. And then thirdly, we're going to close with this. To disrespect is to show disregard or contempt for authority or age, communicating little regard for the office or station in life of another. It is treating the Bible with the utmost carelessness as to its precepts and statutes. You know, one of the things that we're going to be held accountable for when we stand before the throne of God, how did you treat the elderly? Do you understand that? Did you show respect to the elderly? It's a principle of God. It's a command of God to rise before the elderly. Now, why would God give a command and then not hold us accountable to it? One of these days, we're going to have to give an account of how we treated those who were older than us. Did we show respect to authority, or did we thumb our nose at what they taught us and what they said and disrespect their age? It's treating the Bible with the utmost carelessness to do so. And you're going to be held accountable for it. And I will be held accountable for it. Now, we've just laid just a very simple foundation of where we want to go, because next time, Lord willing, I'm going to get into appropriate behavior in regard to age. We're going to develop a little bit further about this showing respect to those who have gray hair. We're going to talk about rebuke. We're going to talk about honoring all people, and some of the principles that are laid out in the Scriptures, examples that are given to us to help reaffirm. And I'm going to copy this section off for you so that you'll have that, have these verses of Scripture. I've got some other translations, New American Standard translations, that give us a little more up-to-date language that we can understand in this regard that I think will be helpful in what God is teaching us in regard to appropriate behavior in regard to age and authority. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to help our children. We want to help our teenagers, our adults, to show respect according to the Word of God. Lord, we know that today and in our society that these things are passé. These things are foolish to the average person in this world today. You talk about respecting authority and showing deference to age. People are completely ignorant when it comes to the Bible truth concerning those things. Lord, we know that. We understand that. But we're still responsible to follow Your Word. And so, dear Lord, we ask that You would give us open hearts to receive these things. Lord, some of these young couples here are going to be having children soon. We want to see these boys and girls get the proper training and respect. We have children now that are in our church, Lord, that need to be taught, need to be brought up in the proper respect for authority and proper respect toward age, and not to address those that are older on the same level as they themselves, because God says there's a difference. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help these principles to cling in our hearts as parents and grandparents, and then enforce them in our homes so that we can show true deference to age and to authority as You declare in Your Word, and thus restore biblical childhood. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.